London Business School Review. The myths of disruption. How should you respond to emerging technologies? There's no need to fear the worst in times of rapid change, says Julian Birkinshaw.
Disruption may be the most overused term in the business lexicon today. Every startup wants to disrupt the established order. Every incumbent is scared of being disrupted. Disruption is a rallying cry or a bogeyman, depending on where you sit. And no one is immune. If an executive dares to suggest their industry is free from the threat of disruption, they are accused of being short-sighted or in denial and heading the way of the dinosaur. I find this obsession with disruption a little disturbing. I can think of plenty of industries where the established players are pretty stable, despite all the potential disruptions they've been through. Retail banking, for example. Pick a country. Look at their big four or five retail banks today versus 20 years ago and tell me how different the two lists are. Retail banking has experienced many technological shifts, from ATMs to telephone, online, and now mobile banking, each one accompanied by warnings of a shake-up. Yet the old order has held firm. My point is not to deny that full-on disruption happens occasionally. Of course it does. We all know the sad cases of Blockbuster, Kodak, and Nokia. But the truth is, new technologies emerge in a wide variety of ways, and often the range of valid responses from established firms is equally wide. By focusing attention on the extreme, disruptive end of the spectrum, we risk losing sight of the bigger picture. I just don't think it's healthy or intellectually honest to proclaim, Chicken Little-like, that the sky is falling. So, in the spirit of broadening the debate on how to respond to technological change, I would like to challenge some of the conventional thinking that often gets bandied about. To be provocative, I will call these the myths of disruption, but they aren't entirely untrue. They are closer to what Jeff Pfeffer and Bob Sutton call dangerous half-truths that are valid under a narrow set of conditions, but often wrong and therefore misleading. By challenging them and suggesting alternative in each case, I hope you'll give more thought to how to respond to emerging and potentially disruptive technologies in your industry. Myth 1. Every industry faces being disrupted. While startups sometimes kill off established firms completely, Netflix and Blockbuster, for example, the more common scenario is for the new and the old to coexist, often in different segments of the market. There are still some book publishers and book retailers around, despite predictions of their demise 15 years ago. It seems clear that Airbnb is sharing the hotel market with traditional groups like Hilton and IHG, and that Uber is learning to coexist with black or yellow cabs. Established banks, as noted earlier, have maintained their strong customer franchises despite the digital upheaval they are going through. Why is coexistence, not full-on disruption, the norm? Many new technologies don't stay on the steep performance improvement trajectory they start with, and many traditional sources of advantage, such as customer relationships and channels to market, are resilient to changes in technology. And of course, the market isn't homogeneous. Different types of customer value different things. Kodak-style disruption, where all the traditional sources of advantage become obsolete, is pretty rare. Of course, it does no harm to think through the worst-case scenario of full-on disruption, but my advice is to plan for the more likely scenario, which typically involves some combination of the new and the old. An example from my sector. Business education in the future will almost certainly involve a blend of Socratic classroom-based discussion, group-based project work, and individual online learning. While traditional business schools can't afford to ignore online learning entirely, it is equally true that those who bet early and big on massive online courses have not recouped that investment. Overreacting can be as costly as underreacting. Myth 2. Established firms get into trouble because they don't see the new technology coming. When I discussed the failure of Nokia's handset business with my students, their gut response is they missed the shift in the market. But Nokia had a touchscreen phone in prototype before the 2007 introduction of the iPhone, as well as an app store called Ovi. The problem wasn't a lack of foresight or insight. It was a failure of implementation. In my experience, the captains of industry typically see the iceberg coming well in advance. But they respond by forming iceberg committees and building iceberg monitoring equipment rather than by steering away. The initial step is actually pretty easy. Every large firm I know has foresight or business intelligence or scenario planning units to monitor potentially disruptive trends. But they are often so detached from the decision-making hub of the firm that they don't get their message across. I recently did a study of how the big pharma companies like Merck and Roche responded when biotechnology took off in the early 1990s. They all dabbled in strategic alliances or partnerships with biotechs, but only half followed up with major commitments to the new technology. The others made only token efforts that failed to grab the attention of top executives. Myth 3. Listen carefully to your frontline employees and build consensus for change. It is often argued that those closest to the action or those on the fringes are best placed to pick up the faint signals of change. I agree that executives who empower and listen to their frontline employees will be better placed to make smart decisions. But adapting to potentially disruptive technologies requires you to act on ambiguous data, and the more consensus-oriented your decision-making process, the slower and more inconclusive it is likely to be. Discussing an issue in depth makes people feel better about it, but it can also result in analysis paralysis. It is an uncomfortable truth that the companies that are best at seizing potentially disruptive opportunities are tightly controlled at the top, such as Oracle, Amazon, Facebook, and News International. These companies are run by powerful, strong-minded individuals who are able to cut through the arguments and make decisive judgments, while their consensus-oriented counterparts seek to balance opposing views and not upset anyone too much. Former Apple executive Pascal Cagny calls such individuals benevolent, transparent dictators. This is the style of leadership, he argues, that works best in a fast-changing business world. Myth 4. You need to base smart decisions on big data. In most industries today, there is an abundance of information on customer behavior, market trends, and competitor actions, and increasingly sophisticated tools are available for making sense of the data. So when faced with a potentially disruptive threat, our first inclination is to analyze the situation using whatever data we can lay our hands on. But again, there are limits to this approach. We can get stuck in analysis paralysis. We can have too much faith in the data, some of which may be of dubious quality. We live in the fake news era, after all. We can lose sight of the context of what we are studying. And of course, we run the risk that our competitors have access to the same data and the same analytical tools, which makes it hard to differentiate our offering from theirs. Where does competitive advantage come from when information is ubiquitous? From decisiveness, as noted previously, and from being able to harness the tacit experience and knowledge that cannot be reduced to numbers and NPV calculations. In short, it comes from emotional conviction. The Facebooks and Amazons of this world don't succeed because they have smart data scientists. Lots of companies do. Rather, it's because they're prepared to move beyond the data and trust their intuition in cases where no amount of market research would show you the way forward. Yes, a balance is needed. I'm not suggesting we should throw out the hard data and go on gut feel, but we can be too easily seduced by the latest analytical tools and locked into a template that requires us to quantify everything. The human brain has two sides, an analytical one and an emotional one, and we need to bring both to the table when making tricky decisions. Myth 5. You need to act fast or you'll be wiped out. Finally, the argument that your industry faces imminent disruption is typically accompanied by a warning that you must act quickly. As my colleague Gary Hamill says, Some startup is carving a bullet with your name on, and the only way to avoid it is to shoot first. But is speed really that important? Take the big pharma response to the threat of biotechnology again. Even though biotech was seen as potentially disruptive in the early 1990s, it wasn't until the 2010s that biologic drugs started to top the blockbuster sales charts, a transformation that took 20 years. The newspaper industry is another case in point. We agonize today over whether and how our traditional newspapers might survive, but they've been working on the problem since 1995. As noted, banking has been getting to grips with digitization for 20 years, and the story is still unfolding. Kodak was declared bankrupt in 2008, but it invented the digital camera back in the late 1970s. Knowing how new technologies play out in different sectors is healthy because it reminds you that speed isn't everything. Even where commitment to decisive change is necessary, a long capability building stage frequently comes before. It's often said that those who fail to learn the lessons of history are destined to repeat them. But history has many different lessons. And if you use Kodak or Nokia's failure as the model, you run the risk of overreacting and taking the wrong actions. The appropriate response to change varies with the circumstances facing your industry. Full-on disruption is a very unlikely scenario. There is no recipe book here, but greater understanding and a bit more critical thinking are invaluable assets as you seek to get to grips with the changes unfolding in your industry.
Julian Birkinshaw is Professor of Strategy and Entrepreneurship, Academic Director of the Institute of Innovation and Entrepreneurship, and Deputy Dean of Programmes at London Business School. For more fresh ideas from London Business School Review, visit london.edu/LBSR.